Hello and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dott, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Oh, for the good old days of a simple antivirus program as the be-all and end-all of endpoint security. Alas, in today's complex cybersecurity environment, while a good endpoint security package is still a key element in securing your customers' devices, there's a lot more to it. And in this edition of the podcast, we're joined by frequent guest Tony Anscombe, Global Security Evangelist for ESET, to discuss EDR, Endpoint Detection and Response, and what it means to you. We define exactly what EDR is and how it works in a complementary fashion to traditional endpoint security. We talk about where EDR is common today and where there's still a lot of opportunity for growth, especially for security-minded MSPs. And of course, we get into what's in it for you. How you as a VAR or MSP can build EDR into your security game plan, who the best fit customers for MSP-managed EDR are today, and how to introduce the technology to customers. We talk about how technologies that drive more automation like EDR can help with the ever-present challenge of finding and retaining good IT security professionals, and we go through what it looks like for a partner to set up a successful EDR service for their customers. It's a great conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Tony Anscombe. Tony, thanks so much for joining us once again.
Oh, always good to be here, Rob.
And I wanted to take a minute to pick your mind, as I'm wont to do on these, about sort of the state of endpoint security and sort of the relationship, the interplay, the points of demarcation, if you will, between traditional endpoint security and EDR systems. Maybe just to throw it open, you know, what changed? What led to the rise of EDR in addition to sort of the traditional endpoint / antivirus approach?
Well, firstly, it might be good to explain what EDR is. We're all very good at using these acronyms, aren't we?
We are, yes.
So EDR is Endpoint Detection and Response. So basically, it's a complementary, in my opinion, to the traditional endpoint protection. Of what we think of as being AV and such like. And that endpoint detection and response is looking at what's going on the device and actually monitoring and logging the anomalies that might be happening on the device. So it's an evolution from, you know, what is endpoint protection, but it's a differing technology as well. So what was it that changed, though, that required us to actually go down this path? Well, if we think about, let's think about ransomware for a moment. Yeah, if we go back 3 to 5 years, you know, the attachment in your email or the link in your email that's taking you to a website to get you to download something, or the malware was landing on your endpoint. Mm-hmm. And when it lands on your endpoint, you require that endpoint product to sit there and scan what lands there and to turn and say, hey, this is bad, or this is suspicious, or this is clean, and you want that product to make certain decisions for you. So it's preventative, because it's looking at something that's landing in that inbox or is being downloaded. And we want preventative. I mean, think about security in your home, or think about security around your car or in other parts of life. We want prevention. We don't want things to happen. It's no good. Well, the burglar's in my house. What do I do now? I mean, you want to prevent him coming in. Mm-hmm. So that's where that lies. And that malware, that ransomware changed, and the attack method changed. So now if you look at a piece of ransomware, what happens is somebody's going to make an incursion into your network. So this is where that phishing link or somebody has stolen credentials, or they found a vulnerability in a device and they're exploiting that vulnerability to get access to something. And there's no malware involved at this stage. The person has an incursion into the network. They're looking around the network. They're mapping the network. They're looking around, looking for specific things like data, customer data, how to access it, what data they might want to exfiltrate. And then they're looking around for privilege escalation. So looking on routers and such like for admin passwords so that they can move around other parts of the network. And maybe they're even looking for those privilege that would allow them to turn parts of the security system off when they do eventually decide to launch their ransomware attack. And at that stage, they're actually deploying their malware. So the endpoint protection piece and the piece that sits on servers and such like that's doing that scanning and looking at what's running, the processes that are running, the behavior of applications and all those sorts of things are super important. But we need to know what happened in that incursion piece from when the person got in up until that point. So there's a difference in attack attitude from a cyber criminal, unfortunately.
The ever-changing game of security.
Well, and I'm sure it's going to continue to change because, you know, as fast as things get locked down, you know, it's about monetization. And you've seen recently some massive payouts. I mean, payouts that are incomprehensible, really. I mean, you've seen CNA Financial paid $40 million to a cybercrime group. That's a lot of money. You can do a lot of things with that. I mean, despite, you know, obviously buy Ferraris and boats and such like, but I mean, you can employ a lot more hackers with that. You can deploy a lot more resources and you can go and attack a lot more companies with it. And when somebody has what I define as the needle in the arm of that type, they're not going to give up. They're going to get addicted to getting those sorts of payouts. So even as law enforcement or technology gets better with that type of resource, they're going to look for other ways to attack, and they will probably find some other unique, clever way to do so.
So let's talk a little bit sort of about where we're at in terms of penetration at this point, not in terms of security, but in terms of security products in the market. Obviously, endpoint security in its various flavors, pretty much ubiquitous. Like most devices, I think at this point, safe to say, have some sort of endpoint security on them, or at least should. I'm curious how ubiquitous or how common it is for EDR to be in place across across customers
and businesses. Well, EDR is still an evolving technology. And I say that, I mean, it's been in market several years, but evolving in market acceptance. So the output of an EDR system, you're going to do analysis on what's coming out of those endpoints. And then somebody, you know, that system is going to in some way prioritize events or happenings for you, and you need some dedicated resource. Well, the fact you need the dedicated resource that's going to understand what is coming out of these systems already means that it takes a segment of businesses out of this market, unless they're running an outsourced service or using an outsourced service. So a lot of your smaller businesses or SMBs are likely not going down this path unless they're using an MSP type service. Then you get into the enterprises. Well, they're already there. A lot of enterprises already have these types of systems in place. You know, my prediction, though, is at some stage over the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to see this normalize a little bit more. And smaller businesses will need to understand that actually we need these type of systems too, and there'll be a wider acceptance and deployment of using an outsourced system in this way.
And that in turn, of course, speaks to opportunity for channel partners to offer that as a service and either outsourced to a third party, or spinning up sort of EDR as a service that they manage themselves. Is that something that you are seeing at this point?
Yes, without question. I mean, this is definitely an opportunity for managed service providers, or even what I define as the reseller who wants to get more involved with his customer. I mean, some of them are not fully fledged managed service providers, but maybe have a more hands-on approach, even if something is on-premise in this way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, EDR is there to get rid of those stealthy threats. And as we're seeing, you know, unfortunately, everybody's a target, aren't they? So,
How then do you prioritize, or would you prioritize sort of VARs or MSPs going to customers and sort of identifying who the best fits, who's most likely to benefit from EDR at this point in the time, especially when you're talking to that smaller tier of customers? Is it simply a matter of the maturity of the technology and the acceptance of the technology developing, or are there sort of marks in place that, hey, you're a smaller business, but IP is so central to your business that you should be looking at this sooner rather than later?
Well, that's a great comment there. The IP in itself, you know, if a company's got specific intellectual property or they've got specific customer data that they need to protect, then actually understanding that stealthy threat is important. Now, remember, when a cyber criminal is coming in to attack, they're doing the reconnaissance of who's likely to pay, yeah, because they don't want to spend their valuable time and resources on attacking somebody that's got nothing. Yeah, there's no point in robbing the empty bank, so to speak.
Yeah.
So they're looking at who, in the same way that you should be looking as an MSP or a channel partner, is looking at your customer going, well, this customer has, you know, valuable customer data that maybe holds certain personal records. Yeah, it's not the coffee shop that understands your sandwich preference, but if it's your local doctor's surgery, there and they've got or a clinic of some type, then they've probably got valuable patient data which would be very personalized, or maybe it's an accountancy group that has financial information which is rich with social security numbers and all sorts of other information about you. So as a channel partner, I'd be looking for those points, intellectual property or very, very specific customer-focused data.
When you start talking about, medical or other verticals that maybe have different requirements in terms of protecting data, have we seen a lot in the way of legislation in sort of regulatory requirements driving the potential of EDR, or is that something that maybe is yet to come?
Well, a lot of legislation, whether in the privacy, specifically in the privacy realm, uses the word reasonable. What it says, and they do this very specifically and purposely, because if you tried to actually name a specific technology in legislation, you'd forever be revising and having to repass the legislation. So what they typically say is you need to follow a framework and you need to deploy reasonable security, where, of course, reasonable to you and I may mean different things. Yeah, reasonable to me might be disconnection from the internet, and reasonable to somebody else might be, well, I've got a four-digit password on it.
Right.
Yeah, we could be at either ends of the spectrum. And what it really means is keeping up with what's normal in the market and securing with the best of breed technology at that moment in time. And certainly EDR is in that realm, because if you're wanting to protect against those stealthy threats as they come in and hunt them down, yeah, then you're going to need something that allows you to do so. And yeah, EDR also has the other benefit of, because it's automating this task, an element of automation around this task, and it's providing you the information and the alerts and the challenges that you're seeing in your system, it's also meaning you don't need as much headcount. So it's also, and we continually hear, don't we, Rob, that there's a shortage of good cybersecurity people.
Yeah, and that's true, I think, from folks at, you know, your side of the world, the larger security vendors, and even more so perhaps for the small local VAR who's trying to manage their customers' security requirements. So yeah, a well taken point.
Yeah, and well, hopefully that's something that does get fixed. But actually, an EDR type solution does actually start reducing that, especially if you then start using an MSP service. So if you are providing this as a managed service, realistically, you're combining resource over many customers.
Yep.
So actually, you are helping that ecosystem in doing so.
That's the model. That's the hope, I suppose. Best practices for partners. Any thoughts on best practices for partners in sort of identifying opportunity and touching on what needs to be protected in an organization?
Well, that's a great question, because I think many customers, you know, differ, and many customers have different attitudes to what they're connecting. Mm. I think understanding what's valuable in the customer and what type of threat might come into that customer is super important. But also, we understanding this is not a deploy and walk away. This is not like delivering a new printer to your customer and you plug it in and then walk away and go, well, I'll be back next year for the renewal. Yeah. This is about an ongoing service where you're seeing data on a regular basis about the customer's environment, or the customer is looking at that in an on-premise solution. And yeah, it's helping them understand what they're looking at and helping them refine what they're looking at, so that you're surfacing the important things to the top so they can go and be investigated and resolved. And you know, the things lower down. So think about this. If you know, if I was running a team, you've got an operations team that maybe what I define as your standard IT guys. Then sat off to a side here, you've got a security person or security team which are handling those unique events. The things that are lower down in that list of priority are going out to that operations team to resolve. And the interesting security incidents are being handled by specialist security teams. Now, whether those are internal, external, and how they're provided by resellers and MSPs, or whether that's done internally, I think is depends on the company's business model.
So we've kind of touched on how it all works and what it looks like from a protection model, but especially for a partner or an MSP who's setting this up for customers or a variety of customers, what does actually rolling out the service to begin with look like in terms of getting it set up across their customers' environments and then feeding back into sort of the master system, I guess, back on their front?
Well, of course, EDR is endpoint detection and response. So there is another agent in there that sits along the existing endpoint protection product. Mm-hmm. So you are then taking a feed out of those endpoints and looking at them centrally. So you are collecting data in that way too. And we hear the term XDR, of then using agents in other devices and such like to start collecting the data from other devices. Basically, what you're doing is you're monitoring an entire network. So when you look at each customer, it's looking at, you know, what is their network infrastructure? How does it look? And what agents are available, or what do I need to actually collect? What are the points in that network where I want to extract data so that I know what's actually going on back into that system? So I think customer environments are very unique, but I mean, if I was a reseller or an MSP today and I was looking at this market, the first thing I think I'd do is deploy this on my own network.
Get the learnings that way and be able to speak from experience, as it were.
Yeah, and lean back on, for example, at ESET here, we've got numerous engineers that would happily sit down and go through how EDR systems work and how to interpret the data, mm-hmm. and more importantly, how to write rules and write things that will surface the right things in that environment. So actually how allow you to actually customize what you're seeing.
Mm. Ultimately, to be successful in this kind of role, do you have to go as far down the road sort of as building out your own almost proto SOC, or does it sort of stop short of that depth of requirement and investment and resource?
Well, we see both, actually. You see, you know, much larger MSPs or service providers building out their own SOC, and of course that has its advantages. Yeah, but we've also got down at the other end, you know, the 10 person reseller who's turned themselves into an MSP or has started that way. Mm-hmm. Who's very effectively running a service for a number of customers. So it's all the way from one end to the other. Yes, there are advantages to having your own SOC, but leaning back and using somebody else's is not wrong either.
So we've talked about kind of monitoring the network, monitoring the environment, and understanding what's going on. I guess, what are your thoughts on sort of best practices for getting value over time and building learning over time from that knowledge base that you're building, from those experiences that you're gathering, from those potential incursions that you're seeing?
Well, what we end up with is, in effect, a life cycle. So, you know, where something may have come in through an incursion into the network and may have wormed its way through and attacked in a certain way, what happens is, once you've understood how somebody's got in and how the if you want DNA of that attack and the full characteristics of that attack, it may well end up in that full circle of then going back round, the data that you've got and the telemetry you've got being shared may then end up back in the endpoint product as being detected as a prevention mechanism. So this is a full life cycle of a threat, that actually what you're learning from an EDR solution like this may then end up being preventative and providing that prevention going forwards. So you end up with better prevention over the long term by understanding what happened when somebody did actually get in.
And I guess anywhere in security, anywhere you can get a leg up on the attacker, it's a welcome thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, unfortunately, there's so much monetization in these attacks that it's not going to go away, is it? It's while there's cryptocurrency freely available for cyber criminals to be making money like this, then we're going to see more and more attacks.
All right. Speaks to the need to have these kind of protections. Tony, as always, I appreciate your taking the time and joining us.
My pleasure, Rob, and great to talk to you.
There you have it. A look at how endpoint security and EDR work together for your clients, courtesy of ESET's Tony Anscombe. I'd like to thank Tony for joining us for the podcast, thank ESET for their continuing support of the site, and, of course, thank you for listening today. The ChannelBuzz.ca podcast will be back one more time this week, so please make sure to check us out in your podcatcher of choice then. And hey, since you're already subscribed to or following the show, and you are following the show, right? Maybe this would be a good time to take a quick second and leave us a quick review or rating, if should you feel so inclined. Till next I speak to you, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you around the channel.